This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive. Theatre, film, TV, and more. Susie Rung reviews it all on Joy Drive with Em and Warren.
Susie Rung, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. Did you know what this movie was about ahead? Did you approach it with trepidation?
No, you know what? The movie we're talking about is The Whale. I actually had no idea what it was about. Honestly, I didn't. I thought maybe it's a nature documentary. I didn't know. And I went in. I had no idea. What about you?
Well, I was asking you this question because the poster of it looks so miserable, and it made me think, like, oh, how does one approach a movie when they know that it was going to be a little bit of a heavy one? But you didn't know.
I didn't know it was heavy, but boy, was it heavy. Tell us about it, Susie.
Brendan Fraser was in so many movies back in the day, but seems to have disappeared from our screen in recent years. That is until he won an Oscar earlier this year for The Whale, now available to buy or rent on your favorite platforms. He plays Charlie, a gay man weighing 600 pounds or 270 kilograms, an impossibly large body that when we first encounter at the start of the film, we learn to be failing terribly. And his friend Liz, a nurse who tries her best to take care of Charlie, tells him that he probably only has a week to live. He sits at home teaching English classes via Zoom, but with his camera turned off, aware that his appearance would become a distraction. We soon discover that he has an estranged daughter who rocks up one day quite out of the blue to make her father feel guilty about abandoning her as a child and to get him to do her homework. Young Ellie seems to really get off on saying cruel things to Charlie, often about how he had left their family for a gay lover. Directed by Darren Aronofsky, The Whale is less dark and dramatic than Aronofsky's previous films, but it has his signature mesmeric quality that could effortlessly sustain your attention. I found the conclusion moving, but must admit that I never really invested in any of these characters. The Whale is well-meaning in demonstrating the damage caused by homophobia, especially in religious organizations, but I'm not sure if it makes that statement powerfully enough. It is worth a watch though, if only for Hong Chau's performance as Liz, for which she received her first Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actress. I think she's truly exceptional in whatever she does. Brendan Fraser does a fine job, but it is hard to make Charlie's story not feel a little bit exploitative. Warren, I'm interested to know how The Whale made you feel.
Do you know what? I think I had the same sort of feeling when I was watching it, but it hit me at the end of the movie. It hit me at the end, and I was thinking for ages afterwards. And I watched it, I finished watching it last night, and even today I was thinking about it and thinking, oh, what does it mean? What do I think of it? But I was really moved at the end of it. Yeah. I was really moved. I think for me, I suppose I've solidified my thoughts now, and I thought it really captures the power of grief, you know, overlaid with, I suppose, trauma, and how if we don't deal with it, we can completely self-destruct. I felt like if I was a straight white male with a perfect life, I might watch the film and I might think, yeah, it's pretty average. I don't understand, you know, why he let himself go, to be honest. That's what I would probably say. But I think having grown up as a gay man, you know, and we're told there's something wrong with us, you know, and it's implied, even if it's not told to us, it's implied just by growing up, you know, gay in our straight society. And then this person lost their partner, was denied access to their partner and denied the ability to grieve, and that's internalized and it's got to go somewhere. And I found the film really raw, and I felt like it really did capture, if you think about it, it captured what all these homophobic or whatever, you know, let's talk about drag story time and all this phobia going on at the moment and this aggression. If we don't deal with it, it can ruin someone's life. And that's what I got out of the movie last night. And I thought it took a little while for me to think about it, but it just showed that this guy by Charlie, played by Brendan Fraser, who did a fantastic job, really internalized all this grief and homophobia and couldn't cope. And that's what happened. And he let himself go.
Yeah, I think you've summarized the film really well. I don't know if those important points that you made were, you know, they were the point of the movie, but I don't think that when you're watching it, you kind of went on that journey quite as much the relationship between Charlie and his daughter. I think there was a lot of emphasis in that, and I think the performance for those bits was strong. I think the stuff about the resentment on the daughter's side and the guilt and regret from the father's side, I think those were strong. And I think at the end, because you knew that the terrible ending was going to come, it was moving in a way that was raw and humanistic. I don't think it sort of pushed the political points of it very strong. And I felt a little bit cheated out of it. I felt like, yeah, you introduce a lot of religion into the story, but you kind of let them off somehow.
I thought that
lightly.
Too. I thought the religion got off really, really lightly. I thought because... You know, I mean, you could see that he wasn't coping, and you knew that his partner had passed away, and you could see the impact on, you know, the daughter having left. But there was religion was touched on, but again, it didn't go on like you didn't get that whack in the face of this is the impact that religion has on us.
Yeah, I was thinking about that today. And I think because we are queer people, we want them to be punished that way in a film. Right? Mm. We want to see that really harsh treatment, that
especially if we've been hurt by
indictment. Yeah, that chastisement. But I think maybe it makes more sense because the film, I think, is directed by Darren Aronofsky, who seems to be a straight man. I think for people like them, maybe the message is clearer when it's less obvious, you know, maybe when you don't hit them over the head with it, they might sort of ingest the message better. Maybe if it's sort of conveyed in a softer way, they would be able to open their hearts a bit more. Maybe that's the case, because what we want to see must look very different from what is going to be effective for them. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And again, it was the after effect that made me sort of understand what the movie about. It didn't get whacked over the head with it when I was watching. And I don't know if certain people would understand what was going on. I was really challenged, Susie, and I'd be interested if you were. I was challenged by, the guy is morbidly obese and he's, and he is dying. And I was challenged by the word disgusting that was used quite a lot because it was, and I wonder why, it was really focused on his physical appearance. And it was hard because this guy was a beautiful man. I mean, he is the most amazing, caring soul. And I thought, well, this is really good. This movie is challenging us to look beyond the physical appearance of someone and to be attracted to this person for who they are, their authentic self. And Charlie, played by Brendan Fraser, was the most beautiful person you could ever come across. He had people calling him disgusting to his face because of the way he looked, but it didn't bother him. He just went, I am disgusting, but what a beautiful, kind person.
Yeah, it's difficult to watch, but I think so much of it is reality, isn't it? That's how we think of people who are of that size. And it's hard for me to kind of watch it and feel like, don't judge the person. But at the same time, you are understanding that the person has given up on themselves. So it's these two very, really difficult things to put in your head at the same time, because you have to follow the story and understand the point of the story is that they had given up on themselves. So much as we do not want to judge him based on his appearance, we have to understand that he is killing himself. And what do we do from the outside? And the story has, you know, several very well-meaning people who are trying to help him from the outside. That's one point where his friend Liz says, you know, we can't help you if you don't want to help yourself, which was a really loaded statement. True, we see that he doesn't want to help himself, but we also see that the harm caused by him is coming from outside.
Mm, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I thought Liz, played by Hong Chau, she did a great job.
Oh, it was sensational. Oh,
amazing. And worth watching just for her performance. It was just brilliant. I really loved it. It was interesting, Susie, because I was thinking about that point about how we've got this beautiful man and, you know, everyone was judging him by how he appeared and forgetting what was under the surface. And then, you know, I was at the gym this morning. There were a couple of young guys running around and they were just working out and they were working out with their tops off. And, you know, they had the most beautiful chiseled body. And I found myself, after watching this movie, in judgment of them. I was thinking, you know what? Here we have a beautiful person, yet you guys are just projecting your physical body and expecting us to be attracted to you just based on your physical looks. But I want to know what the person is like. I want to know what you guys are like as people, because why are you projecting this body as some sort of protective mechanism? It just got me thinking about it today after watching this movie.
Yeah, the body is such a hard thing, you know, I understand where you're coming from. You know, ultimately, it's always more important what a person is like, you know, on the inside. But what we are, our skin and flesh are intrinsically who we are. And we can't sort of deny it and sort of pretend that it doesn't exist. And also how we look is a manifestation of who we are often, you know. So I think it is hard to try to split the two. It is easy if we don't have the ability to not just see the outside. But the thing is, we can't. And it's a thing that we need to sort of be very careful in how we train ourselves in the way we regard people. We have to be so careful in how we treat people. And, you know, so much of these discussions these days about discrimination, you know, people call it woke culture of being too politically correct, of sort of saying that, oh, because you tick certain boxes, because you look a certain way, you're meant to be treated differently. And people, you know, people are sort of responding against those things. But the truth is, people have been judged against, you know, based on their looks for decades. And we have to learn how to find a way to be fair to people. And it's hard.
It is hard. But the movie certainly does challenge us in that respect. And we're talking about The Whale, which is streaming on several streaming services with Susie Rong here. It was interesting also to look at the pain inflicted upon his daughter and his wife, because, you know, he fell in love with a guy, and he pursued that love and pursued, you know, himself. And I was thinking about that, and I kind of felt sorry for them. I thought, yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because they're left stranded high and dry because he's realized who he is. And then I also thought, on the other hand, I thought, but that's kind of what happens when religion and society force us down a path where we're not our authentic selves, you know, and you end up, you know, I feel like they force us to go into the closet and do these things, and it ends up hurting their own kind. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
stop forcing us down these roads. Let us be ourselves, and we won't end up hurting you in the process.
I do think that that bit is the most interesting bit. It's the most complicated bit, that he wasn't an innocent sort of victim of circumstances. He had made mistakes, you know, and we understand why those mistakes were made, but he did make those mistakes. And I think that was good to see him sort of suffer the consequences of that and then trying to make up for that. And, you know, the performance of the daughter, who's relentlessly cruel, you know, I think was was great drama.
Yeah. You know,
and to me, what was like, yeah, it is realistic. We don't want to see it. It's really uncomfortable watching the way she treats her father, but it is completely believable. Of course she's going to talk to him that way. Of course she's going to think of him that way. And I guess that bit for me was sort of unusual in the film to see that it was so relentless. And, it was painful, but I liked watching that.
Yeah, I struggled with the daughter at first. I looked at her and I thought, oh my goodness, you're a real nasty daughter. I was thinking, oh, I don't like you at all. Where are you from? And you know, the mother's saying she's evil and what have you. And then you've got that real, I suppose, cognitive dissonance, haven't you, throughout the whole movie? At every character, you've got two sides. You're thinking, I understand why they're like it, but you're also this as well. So, I liked the daughter in the end. I felt empathy towards her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you would understand completely where she comes from. Like, I have bits of her in me. You know, I have resentment for my father. Not to that extent, but I understand how it can be relentless and how, you know, forgiveness is, for me, an ongoing process, and some days you do better than others. So for me, that was realistic, and it was good to see realism. And you know, this cognitive dissonance that we've spoken about these few weeks almost seems like a theme, you know. Mm. I think it's very healthy. It's very healthy for us to watch storytelling that isn't straightforward, that isn't, you know, doesn't tie everything up nicely in a bow at the end. I think it's really healthy for us emotionally to kind of go through these journeys and to understand that it is hard, and it's not hard just in your own life, in most people's lives, maybe in everyone's lives. They have these really complicated, really difficult things that we hope to have to come to have resolutions. But maybe we, you know, as you and I grow into our older years, we just need to understand that it's okay. Things maybe just are not going to get resolved.
That's right. And you and I can't wait till we're in the retirement home together, Susie. We'll have some great conversations.
Yeah. Please keep going to the gym. I need one of us at least to have the physical ability to take care of us.
Okay, it's a deal. We are chatting to Susie Rong about The Whale, which is streaming on multiple services at the moment. Susie, what is our homework for next week?
Because it's 2023, there is no hiding from the nauseating phenomenon of the dating show. Next week, we're looking at the new queer franchise of the Netflix series titled The Ultimatum Queer Love. Warren, I look forward to all of your best disparaging comments when I see you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Susie. So Netflix, The Ultimatum Queer Love. Thanks, Susie.
Bye.
It's Susie Rong.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.